This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
There's only one station that gives you concise, unfiltered, unbiased news. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
So I see that the EFF intends on pursuing this matter. They are approaching the High Court on an urgent basis, I believe, and are willing to take this matter of Gageshe all the way to the Constitutional Court. Yeah. So they're staying firmly on the on course with that one, and so continuing in their support for Kanya Gageshe. So yeah. If you missed the news earlier, of course, that he was unsuccessful in his application for leave to appeal. It was turned down. It's a tricky one for, but yeah, let's see how it goes. Let's see how far it will be taken. This is the Power Drive on Power 98.7. By the way, if you still have more thoughts on that subject, please keep it coming on WhatsApp as well. 083-303-7093. That's 083-303-7093. Okay, let's move it on to other matters now. And the Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration, more commonly known to us as the CCMA, today they tabled their 2018-2019 annual report. It was revealed in the report that the large-scale retrenchments in the construction, mining, and metal sectors contributed 38,588 retrenchment notices that were referred to the commission during the year under review. Let's speak to the director for the CCMA, that's Cameron Murajan, who joins us on the line. Good afternoon to you, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. So let's just put things into a bit of perspective here. These numbers, I mean, these are staggering numbers for in a one-year period, 38,588 matters that were brought to your attention, retrenchment notices that came to your attention. It is quite, I mean, it just plays the number into perspective for us in terms of what you have been accustomed to dealing with in the past.
Okay. The main thing is that if you look at our numbers, the total caseload of the CCMA, it is 193,000 cases per annum. It's about 193,700 odd numbers, right? Of that number, what you find also is dismissals relating to retrenchments. Mm. Now, what we normally do, the CCMA has two main functions or two main streams. The one stream, it is the work that we have to do, which is doing cases, and the discretionary functions, which we do depending on the labor market needs. Mm. We've developed a program called a job-saving program, which was also spoken to by the president in the job summit. Post that, we were requested to participate in some of those programs. Now, the numbers that you're referring to is a total number of the large-scale dismissals that were referred to us to facilitate. Of that 35,000 that we received, and that's just large-scale, it doesn't even touch on the small-scale ones, right? Just the large-scale that we know about. So out of the 35,000 that you see, we managed to save 15,000 of those jobs through a facilitated process by the commissioners of the CCMA. But that number is not a true reflection, because the numbers is much bigger than that in as far as the dismissals in terms of retrenchments that are below the large-scale ones, which are not coming to us. You will find those when there's individual referrals. But the large-scale ones, that where we facilitate, it's those numbers that you're looking at. So those that we could not save, they'll form part of the total number of the 193,000 cases that we're dealing with per annum. Mm. That program we call a job-saving program. Mm.
Now,
that's the perspective.
All right. Okay. So now you, I think, have had a success, according to the report, have had a success rate of just over 40%. I mean, in your reckoning, is that good going, or considering what you are up against? And
it is good. It's almost more than half of those that were facing large scale dismissals that we're looking at. But if you asked me, why I say it is good but not good enough is that if we could save the total 35,000 that came to us, you can imagine the impact it will have on the total unemployment rate of 29% in the country. It would mean that we'd have done a great job. But for me as a director, and any person who loves South Africa, will accept that with the triple crisis that we're facing, one job lost is one job too many. So if you can save 15,000 out of 35, that's why I say it's good. It means we would not only save 35,000 jobs, we've saved 15,000 families and those that are dependent on it. On something that we actually chose to do as a discretion, but not really part of our mandate. The law gives us that latitude that you can do other labor market issues that will contribute into the triple crisis and also the betterment of the society. So we've done so. You will see also in our numbers that as we do that, it is one function that we really publicize because we strongly believe that some of these disputes and disputes can be prevented. Mm. So that's why we adopt a dispute prevention program so that we can save jobs, because there's no way we can succeed as a country in fighting unemployment if we're leaking jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, by saving jobs, what does that actually entail? I mean, do you restore people to where they were before?
Yes.
Or is there some kind of compromise that, you have to go through in order to, as you say, save the job?
The biggest part is restore. Remember that when you're talking about Section 189, which is a operational requirements dismissal, there are different causes for dismissal on operational grounds, and one of which is technological. The other one is financial. Mm. Sometimes it's because the company wants to specialize. So what we then do, we have partnered also with Productivity SA, who are specializing in turning around solutions in different entities. So in other words, when a company comes to us and say we want to retrench 5,000 like it's happening with the mine, we want to retrench 5,000 people, we look at the reasons why. One of the parties will then refer to us and say we are really now going to dismiss 5,000 people and these are the possible retrenchments. What we then do, we appoint a commissioner to facilitate the process. Facilitation means that you now look at the reasons why the dismissal happens. If it's based on the fourth industrial revolution and there's issues of automation, artificial intelligence, or gig, for example, we then come up with proposals. We say, right, we can see that you are bringing new machines, but these number of persons can be trained and reskilled and be redeployed to be able to operate the machines that are automated. And you can reskill this person to do a different job in the workplace. So it's a different ball game when we get to that, because we have to look at the totality of the company, look at the current job that are at risk and see where you can send them. If you can't, that's when you reach the stage where the dismissal is unavoidable. That's why you've got half of those that are facing, still having suffered retrenchment. But the facilitated process is to assist the parties to identify common ground, consensus type of approach where the interests of the company are there, but you balance the interests of the employer and the employee. We do understand that the employer wants to make profit, but at the same time, it is through the sweat and blood of the employee while doing that. We do accept that is a changing world of work because of technology.
Yes.
But while we do all of that, let's see how we accommodate. And that's what we're trying to find when we engage.
Given that, in fact, I'm glad you touched on it because that's where I was going next. I mean, given this, firstly, the state of the economy currently,
yes.
And as you say, the advent of technology and the 4IR, as you say, yeah. What are the prospects going forward, and how do we push back against such?
Look, at the moment, I can tell you one thing. It's a question of mitigation, because stopping retrenchment completely is an impossible task.
Yeah.
And the problem that we have and the issues that I've raised even when I presented to federations is that you do not react to retrenchment based on technology when you get a notice of retrenchment. Mm. You must be proactive so that if there's time for skilling and reskilling or upskilling, you do that well in advance and know what the company plans in the next 5 years.
Yes.
So that if there's things that I need to do now to prepare for the future, then I must do now. It also has an impact on who you employ, because your employment and the type of employee, we don't employ for somebody to work for now. We are employing for people who work for now and also for the future of the job. That's why the president, was part of the Global Commission for the Future of Work, and we're discussing technology in that report, which was delivered at the ILO. It says we must be able to forecast, we must be able to project what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years if technology, which is inevitable. You see, the problem is 4IR is not something that is planned for the future. It's already happening.
Of course.
That's why jobs are being lost. But we are not really that prepared for it because we did not have the right conversation at the right time. What we are doing now is to try to stop the bleeding. But the bleeding will continue.
Okay.
The president has confirmed that prepare for the bloodbath. All we can do is to mitigate and try to save as much job as we can in the face of that. But it's not the only reason. The other one is the minimum wage, for example, because the minimum wage has been introduced, and then people say, well, I can't afford my farm workers. I can't afford my domestic workers. I can't afford people in the public works program. So as a result of that, because I can't afford that, and I've applied for exemption, it's not granted, so I'm dismissing them on operational grounds. That is another contributory factor into that equation.
Is that something that you are actually having to deal with already, or is something you're anticipating is going to be filling your inbox?
No, we are dealing with that as we speak. We are now getting involved in the matter that relates to the banks, the retail sector. You see, let me give you another painful picture. You see, the last time I was in Kentucky in the United States, and there, the petrol stations there, they call them the gas stations. There are no people who are petrol attendants.
Indeed.
They're all automated. Now in South Africa, that is going to be there. But I'm not hearing a conversation that says, if this then happens, which is definitely going to happen, because it's about expediency, it's about cost, it's about high quality. Now, if that is coming, what are we going to do with the petrol attendants in the country right now? If we're not having that conversation, it means we're resolving ourselves to be retrenched. We can't sit back. This is not a labor's issue. This is an employer-employee problem. It becomes a country problem. It requires a country solution in an economy that is developing less than 1%, which is bad news on its own.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you, we are engaging, we are capacitating. You'll see in our annual report, we're training more than 70,000 people per annum. Because we're trying to educate. Lastly, we had a Shop Shores conference where we spoke about the impact of the 4IR, saying to the unions, as we're sitting here, you could be receiving a notice that they're being retrenched tomorrow because you're going to be replaced by an automated system. So what have you done to do that? So let's get involved. But what I don't like is one thing, and I'm going to make it very clear. We must stop as a country of being talkers without doing.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about 4IR, it sounds like a beautiful concept, makes one to look intelligent. But that's not the point. The point is, we know that it's coming. There's issues of human in command principles that we're talking about. It requires a certain type of an employee, which is different than we had 20 years ago.
Right.
Let's prepare for it. Let's engage. Okay, that's what we should be doing.
Very quickly, before I have to let you go, so we're almost out of time. The question I was asking was relating to the impact of the minimum wage. How big do you expect that to be in terms of the cases you're going to have to be confronted with of operational retrenchments?
I'm expecting a 25% increase in terms of the caseload that we're having on relating to the caused by the minimum wage. Even as matters stand, our predictions were less than what is happening now. We had thought about that and it worrying me. So now we're predicting that we're looking at a 25% Skype in the caseload. Because of those effects, and then taking into account the other factors as well. But minimum wage on its own, together with the non-payment of the wages to people, is causing the caseload to skyrocket. So it's not a good-looking issue, but we now have to have the conversation that talks execution, not just a good discussion.
Great stuff. Thank you so much for that, placing things into perspective and just summing up the picture for us.
Thank you very much.
Much appreciated. That is the director of the Commission for Conciliation and Mediation and Arbitration, or CCMA, Cameron Morajani. Thank you for your time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.